there a spring thaw in the air for the US and China? Maybe. Hello, I'm Leanna Byrne and good morning. And you are listening to the Marketplace Morning Report and we're live from the BBC World Service. So the US and China have been at odds lately, but it seems like they're trying to mend fences. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is in China for meetings with government officials and American business leaders. And she says they're not talking about cutting economic ties or decoupling, as some call it.
We have agreed that it's important to both of us that we don't want to decouple our economies. We want to continue and we think we both benefit from trade and investment, but that it needs to be in a level playing field.
Now, having said that, Yellen's heading to Guangdong Province, the manufacturing heartland, to address what she sees as China's overproduction of green technology, as the BBC's Laura Bicker reports.
Janet Yellen is heading to the heart of trade and export in China, where she'll meet Chinese and US executives. In a speech before the trip, she announced she planned to address concerns that China is overproducing green technology, driving down prices and hurting American firms. Ms. Yellen has declined to say whether the US will raise tariffs on these goods. Beijing will argue it leads the way in these industries, which it claims is helping to combat climate change globally. China is also relying on these exports to boost an ailing economy.
Laura Bicker there. OK, let's do the numbers. Europe's region-wide Stoxx 600 is up 0.1% after Fed Chair Powell reaffirmed that the Fed is likely to lower interest rates this year. And here's another number for you, 150. That's the number of flight cancellations the Indian airline Vistara has cancelled because of pilot protests. Now, there's been a lot of strikes going on around the world lately, and in Kenya, healthcare is in chaos because 4,000 public sector doctors and health workers have gone on strike for 3 weeks. They're protesting about wage arrears, basically not getting paid properly, and a delay in hiring trainee doctors. The government says they've paid what they owe to the workers, but according to Dr. Sultani Matenchero, Deputy Director General at Kenya's Health Ministry, there's still a dispute over how much the trainees should be paid.
So the number of interns that are coming out are too many. We were able to pay them at the entry level for doctors, but now with the increased numbers, we are not able to maintain the same amount of pay for all of them. So we have proposed new rates, but the unions have rejected that. And we have said that they should just resume work, even as we try to look at the best way in which we can deploy the interns.
That was Dr. Sultani Matenchero. Artificial technology is infiltrating not only our lives, but also our bodies. Take assistive technology for people with disabilities. The BBC's Paul Carter has been to California for an exclusive look at a new type of AI-powered prosthetic arm.
When I reach in, I grab something and I hold it for a certain amount of time, right now, already, it, just at that point, it kicked in, and I'm getting some vibrational feedback here. So that's my indicator that I know that the hand is not going to automatically open and drop whatever I'm holding.
Jason lost his left arm in an industrial accident in 2012. He's showing me how this prototype of a bionic arm works. It looks like a robotic human arm, just with a lot more wires coming out of it at present.
You're controlling this right now. You're moving this essentially by thinking about it. How are you thinking of that? What's the process that you're going through?
It still feels like I'm just moving my regular hand.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more difficult, obviously, but over time and just with practice, I think it's just become easier over the years.
I was born without lower arms and legs, and so have been around and a user of many different types and shapes of prosthetics all my life. I'm told I'll be able to try a virtual version which works for me. Tyler Hayes is the CEO of Atom Limbs, the company behind this technology.
When you first put the arm on, you take about 5 minutes and you train it up. And what that looks like is we say, all right, with your phantom limb that we can't see but that you can, flex your finger, extend your finger, rotate your wrist, rotate it the other way. And our machine learning and AI system takes a huge amount of training and spits out a result so that now you, whenever you think, can just move. So there's nothing in your head, nothing on your head, nothing in your arm. It's all this surface electrode and AI that basically powers it.
I was able to try a version of the tech by strapping some electrodes to my arm, which ends just below the elbow, and hooking it up to a 3D image of the prosthetic on a screen. After a few minutes of training, I was able to move the virtual arm.
What the? This is phenomenal. Experience. This is one of the most incredible things I've ever done.
I was bending the arm at the elbow, turning the wrist, and opening and closing the hand.
the only way I can describe it is it's like on a games controller, I've mapped different buttons to different muscles that I've got here. So when you said, like, for the grip, well, I don't know what a grip feels like, so I just chose something that sort of feels vaguely similar, and that's the one that I'm using to open and close the hand, and the same for the elbow.
The company is currently gathering data ahead of regulatory filings in the US. Exactly how much these arms would be is yet to be confirmed, though they claim the goal is to make them around the same price as other arms in the US, approximately $20,000. But the hope is that prosthetics in the future will be more affordable and more intelligent. I'm the BBC's Paul Carter for Marketplace.
And finally, the rock band Kiss has sold its music catalogue, brand name, likeness and trademarks to the Swedish music investor behind the Avatar ABBA Voyage concert, Pophouse Entertainment. The deal is thought to be worth the equivalent of more than $290 million. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Have a great day and thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.